Well, we just had our first official day of spring this past week. Woohoo! Wednesday, March 28th, was the first day of spring. Now, I might be a bit different or odd, and that's true. But December 31st, for me, New Year's Eve, that's not really the day I tend to reflect back on the old year. For me personally, the day that signifies the real change of the incoming year has always been the first day of spring. And here's why. In springtime, we come out of our hibernation. The weather's getting warmer. There's more daylight. That old, nasty dirt snow is starting to melt and disappear. Grass is starting to green up. Birds are singing and chirping more. Buds are forming on the trees, and flowers are starting to emerge from the ground. Things are starting to come back to life again. And this signifies for me that the old winter season is behind us. And then there's so much anticipation for the new spring and summer seasons and all the possibilities that brings. So it's the perfect time to be reflective on this past year. And at the same time, plan for our future in a God-honoring way. But I want to take it even a step further. It's almost like this long, cold, dreary winter season, especially that we just had, it's like a miniature lifetime. Feels like that. And as we go into this new season now, we can consider how time has seemed to just pass before our eyes. Sometimes a 12-month period can feel like a lifetime, doesn't it? That brings up some questions, some faith questions. Did I live my life well this past season? Did I live my life well this past year? Could Jesus Christ, who is our righteous judge, could he say to us this past year, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Could he say that to you? I know for me at times, the thought of my life passing me by and one day having it come to an end can be a bit overwhelming. I think a lot of people do their best to keep thoughts like that out of their mind, and I understand that. However, numbering our days simply means that we are admitting in the grand scheme of things that our life is short and that it will come to an end for all of us one day. And I believe thinking about that and asking ourselves these types of hard questions can actually be life-changing. So maybe these past 12 months, especially this last fall and winter, maybe it's been a hard one for you. And if so, it can become very easy to be bitter, even depressed. And maybe this past season has been a good one for you. And if so, then it can become easy to be nonchalant and even prideful and then fail to properly plan for the future. But no matter what it was, here's the truth. The only thing that keeps us truly balanced is having a proper faith in our Lord. To realize that our true relationship is in Christ. And Psalm 90 can help us do just that. So why don't you get out your Bibles, get there on your phones. We can go to the Old Testament, Psalm 90. Other than Psalm 23, Psalm 90 has probably been read at more gravesides than any other scripture. Chronologically speaking, Psalm 90, it's the oldest psalm. It was written by Moses. It's the only one written by Moses. And Psalm 90 is all about age. It's all about time. Over and over again, it speaks of the morning and the evening and the days and years and seasons and generations that pass us by in a blink of an eye. The background for this psalm actually comes from the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 20. I'm not going to have you turn there right now. You can read that later if you'd like. But let me give you a quick summary of Numbers 20 here and how it relates to Psalm 90. Because of their disobedience to God, the Israelites were wandering in the desert for 40 years, 40 long years. A whole generation of people would pass by and die before entering this land. And Moses, no doubt, during those 40 years, had attended lots of funerals, lots of burials for other people during that time. But then here comes number 20. Numbers 20. And it literally strikes close home to Moses now. Two of those closest to Moses lose their life here. So his sister Miriam has just died. And as he's burying her, the Israelites start grumbling again against Moses. This time because there's no water. And in anger, Moses and his sidekick Aaron disobey God on a direct command. And the disobedience was so serious that now Moses was not going to be allowed to enter the promised land. And furthermore, Aaron would actually die up on that mountain because of his lack of faith in God. So two of the most important people in Moses' life, gone just like that. I'm sure at this time Moses looked back at his own life. 40 years as a prince in Egypt. And then 40 years tending sheep in the desert. And now, finally, 40 years leading God's people. He must have looked back and thought, where have these years gone? It seems so long ago, but yet it seems like it was just yesterday. Have you ever felt like that or said that to yourself? Moses has just buried two of his family members and best friends. This was a bad day for Moses. And as he was thinking, I'm sure that he had regret over the things he had done wrong in his life. I believe that's our story too. No matter what age we are, young or old, we have regret over the sins we have committed. And as the years pass by, especially for us adults, we see that life has been hard. There's been some tough moments with lots of missteps, lots of loss, and lots of pain and wounds. And if we live long enough, we then do start to realize that our life is short. These are all the things Moses had learned and that knew well in his lifetime with God. And here's the beautiful thing. Moses did not become bitter. Moses did not become pessimistic. The reality for Moses is that pondering these thoughts, asking these hard questions, actually drove him deeper into relationship with the Lord. So let's look at Psalm 90. We'll start with verse 1. It says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or before you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. We see Moses as being reflective here. And for all of us, a faithful Christian life should also be a reflective life. But I think that's difficult now because we don't really live in a reflective society anymore, do we? A lot of us don't want to get older. We live in a culture that spends billions of dollars each year trying to get rid of wrinkles and stop the aging process. And many people actually try to defy death. But the truth is, we need to think seriously at times about the shortness of our life, the frailty of human life. Let's keep going with verse 3 now. It continues this. It says, "You turn man back into dust and say, 'Return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by.'" Or as a watch in the night. A watch in the night was a 4-hour period. Very brief, very short. "You've swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep, and in the morning they're like grass which sprouts anew. Toward evening it fades, and it just withers away." Physically, we are all going to turn back into dust. Our bodies that we care so much about, they'll all decay one day. People, families, nations, even civilizations will all pass away. And that's because for the Lord, 1,000 years is nothing. It's like a day. And verse 5 mentions how fast things change and how they can get swept away as quick as a flood. We've all seen how quickly floods can change things. During a flood or even a hurricane, a house can get swept away instantly as if it's never even existed. Moses is saying our lives are like that. Our lives pass away quickly. Time is fleeting for us. Our very life is fleeting. Verse 7. "For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we have been dismayed. You have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins even, in the light of your presence. For all our days have declined your fury, and we have finished our years like a sigh. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for it is gone and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you?" This was written over 3,000 years ago and it's still just as true today. That's how Scripture is. And I think most people would agree that life does pass away quickly. I think when we ponder that, we understand that that's a reality. Christians, non-Christians alike, I think for the most part agree on that. But the difference comes from the why. Why is it this way? Why do our lives pass away so quickly? Is just the way things are supposed to be? Were things designed to be this way from the very beginning? Moses says here that in comparison to eternity, we'll all be gone and we're all going to return to dust. That phrase, "return to dust," that's important. In Scripture, the first place we see that is from Genesis, Genesis chapter 3. This was after Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit. Originally, God created us to live forever. But then Adam and Eve disobeyed and reasoned that they knew better than God. They were going to take care of it. That God was holding out on them. And they listened to that serpent, our enemy. They ate the forbidden fruit. And the consequence was that the Lord pronounced a curse on them. Genesis 3 17 through 19 says, "Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you. You will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground. Because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall now return. So our days are brief, our days are troubled. Why? Because of this curse of sin. And at first glance, going back to Psalm 90, it might seem like Moses is being complaining here and negative about that. But I don't think he is. He's testifying that things were not supposed to be this way. Our lives were not supposed to be so brief. We weren't made to return back to dust. We weren't made to wither like grass. We were made to live forever. We were made to be in the presence of God forever. So we weren't made to look back 20, 30, 40 years ago. We were made to look back 1,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago, and say, you know what? That seems like it was just yesterday. We were made for eternity. It's the curse of sin that messed things up. It's the curse of sin that has destroyed things for the time being. So seasons and years and decades, they grind us down because we live in a sinful, fallen world now. But praise God that He sent Jesus Christ to redeem us and to reverse this curse of sin that happened all the way back from the garden, all the way back from the beginning. Jesus Christ reversed that. Let's keep going with verse 12. It continues this. It says, so teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Do return, O Lord. How long will it be? And be sorry for your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. As Christians, the cursed reality now of the shortness of our life, that should actually drive us deeper into the arms of Christ, not take us away. Moses says that here. He's an old man now. He's almost 120 years old. And even he, at his age, considers how short his life has been, the briefness of his life. And this makes him turn his thoughts, his words, his actions, right back to God. We must trust Christ to redeem our days here on this earth. We must. Galatians 1:4 says, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. Moses could have said, listen, everyone, life's brief. You're going to have all sorts of trouble and pain. Just stick it out. You're going to die soon. Go to heaven, and then everything's going to be okay. But Moses doesn't say that here in this psalm. I don't think it would have been anything wrong if he would have said that. But he doesn't say it, and I don't even think he thought it. Moses said that God will redeem our days. He's going to redeem our life, not just in eternity, but right now while we are still in our flesh bodies. So that tells us, no matter what difficulty you've gone through in your life, no matter what difficulty you're currently facing in your life, no matter what difficulty you're going to face, because we will face it. Here on this earth, we must trust Christ to redeem our days, past, present, and future. And Psalm 90 continues with this. Verse 15 now says, make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us and all the years that we have seen evil. Doesn't it seem like trouble and affliction and evil can come into a person's life and seem to ruin it? Seems to destroy people. But then we're told in Scripture that Christ can redeem these things. So that begs the question, how? How can Christ redeem the junk in our life? Christ redeems the junk in our life by turning them into opportunities to know Him better and better, to help other people, and to bring glory to Him in His name. That's how. Every Tuesday evening for the past 10 weeks now, myself and about 20 to 30 other men have been going through a powerful study called the Conquer Series. And the Conquer Series focuses on having godly integrity, dealing with pain and wounds in our life, and leaving a legacy, not for ourselves. Our legacy should not point back to us. Our lives have a far greater purpose than just us. We need to remember that. And we need to leave a legacy for Christ. And here's one of the greatest truths I believe in the entire Bible. It's one of them. God takes back what the enemy has stolen from us, and then He'll use it against the enemy. God will use the very thing that was planned to destroy our life, and then He turns that and uses it as a weapon against hell. That's amazing. It's almost too great to put into words. I have seen that time and time again in my Christian walk, and as I strive to be a child of God, as I strive to be a warrior for Christ, God will use the very wounded places in our soul, and He'll use that to heal us and to help others, to bring others into a deeper relationship to Him for His glory. And I have to tell you, I'm not talking about some untested theological concept here. I know this is true because He did it in me. He did it in me. I've talked many times from up here about how Christ has totally transformed me and changed me. And He does it every single day. My life is a testimony He's given me. Why? For His glory. And now He has unleashed me to start making an eternal difference for Him. And God has the same exact thing for all of us. Never doubt that God has an eternal purpose and lifelong grace in your life and the things you've been through. Keep trusting in God to redeem those things. Ask Him to help you see His purposes. Let's go to verse 16 now. Verse 16 says, "Let your work appear to your servants, and your majesty to their children." We're all His servants. We're all His children, aren't we? And for us that are parents, it's so important for us to continue to share our faith, to share our faith in Christ to our children and to our grandchildren. And we do this by our words, by our actions, by the very lives we lead. But this verse here does not just include biological children here. It's talking about spiritual children as well. Spiritual brothers and sisters in Christ. So, verse 16 applies to all of us here. Applies to every single one of us. We are to bring people to Christ and help them into a deeper relationship to Christ. So every single day, we are to read Scripture with others. We are to pray with others. We are to worship with others. We are to challenge people to live their lives for Christ. So this brings up the questions, and I'll start with myself and then ask you, are we doing all we can on these things? Are we doing all we can with the people God has put in our life? Are we helping them along on their journey in Christ? Now, it's a tricky balance because our trust must not be in ourselves or in our gifts, in our work, in our effort. God's the only one that redeems people. But we do have an important God-given command to guide and to lead, and we must never forget that it is Christ who redeems, it's Christ who saves, it's Christ who transforms, not us. And then finally, we find ourselves in the last verse here, verse 17. It talks all about work. It says, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. Is your work going to last? Is your work going to last, or will it just return to dust? Will your work last, or will it be swept away like a flood? Think about that. It's saying here that no matter what your profession is, no matter what season of life you find yourself in, are you making an eternal difference to God? And I'm not just referring to church work or missionary work. As a Christian, no matter what your work is, throughout your entire life, God is promising something awesome to us here. It says, the Lord will establish the work of our hands. What that means is we are supposed to pursue our work and our entire life as a calling from Him, no matter what it is. And if we get a grasp of that, and then when we accomplish that through the power of the Holy Spirit alone, it says our work will last then. God promises He will establish it for all eternity. What that means is it counts in heaven, even. So the reality is that on this earth, at this time, our life is brief, no matter what your age is. And when your life is over, what do you want to be remembered for? What's your legacy going to be? If our life points back to us and our accomplishments, guess what? We're going to fade away like dust in the wind. Nothing is going to be lasting in that. But if our legacy points back to Jesus Christ, then our life, our work will go on forever. Acts 20:24 says, but I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. Our life here on earth is short, but our Lord is eternal. Amen. And if we have faith in Jesus Christ, and if we've given our whole life to Him, and I mean all of it, when I say give your life to Him, I mean all of it. We need to give Him everything, our likes, our dislikes, our profession, our family, our social time, our hobbies, our passions, our struggles, our pain, our joys. We need to give Him everything because Christ redeems it. And then we can be assured that it will go on with us and it will be lasting. And then think of this reality then. By the grace of God, we will be able to hear one day, well done, good and faithful servant. How sweet will that be? Christ can redeem your pain. Christ can redeem your very life. give it all to him. Christ will redeem our legacy, and it will last for him, for his glory. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your promises. Lord, I'm reminded by you to not pray from my problems, to pray from your promises. They're everlasting. They don't end. They don't change. You never take them away. Thank you, Lord, for being for me. Thank you for transforming me. Thank you for transforming us, Lord. And you do that, Lord, by flowing through us, and you give us your peace. You give us your understanding. You give us your love, Lord, for other people. Lord, let us remember that our life is brief here, no matter our age, no matter how old we're going to live. Our life is brief. The only thing that's going to last, Lord, is what we do for you. Let us not be blown away and turn from the left and to the right every time something hits us. Lord, let us have our feet in you. Let us stand, Lord, on your foundation. Lord, thank you for coming to dwell inside of us. You've given us everything, Lord, to be able to live a life like that. Lord, thank you for the struggles we've had. Thank you for not leaving us, Lord, alone on those. We're not disqualified because of that. Lord, you change it, you transform it. So, Lord, I pray that we continue to surrender to you every single day. Lord, you save us, and you save us each and every day. Thank you for transforming us, changing us, sanctifying us each and every day. May we go after life like that for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you. And in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, make sure you come back next Sunday for sure. We're going to be continuing Psalms. We're going to be on Psalm 113. Pastor Dan is going to be talking about a psalm all about praise, how God is completely worthy of all our praise forever. So you don't want to miss that. Enjoy spring and have a great week. God bless.